Well, keep them coming because they were delicious. Bring a basket of them. Thank you, Dave. Have a great weekend. Ian McNulty joins us now, covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. It is our favorite time of week because we put the serious business aside, much like Fat Tuesday, where mirth and merriment reign. At this time, here on WWL on Friday, food and fun reign. And here's our king, Ian McNulty.
I am rising and shining to reign with you, Tommy. Thanks for having me on yet again, and thanks for the great intro. I actually do have a good segue from Dave's oranges. Mm-hmm. Last night I attended an event. It was a fundraiser called Midnight Market for the Crescent City Farmers Market. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of great restaurants there, the type of restaurants that support the farmers market. They show up, they prepare dishes using produce and goods from the vendors. There were just a lot of good ones. Akamaya, which is that new Mexican restaurant in the Bywater that a lot of people have been talking about. It's fantastic. Palm and Pine, always one of my favorites. Mr. Mao, up on Chapultepec Street. Saba, Alon Shia's restaurant and magazine. A number of interesting pop-ups. Honey's, which is this great little cafe in the Marigny, right across from St. Rock Market, that does sort of interesting, coffee in the morning through wine in the evening, that kind of format of a restaurant. And recent oranges are on my mind. I left with a clutch of satsumas that were just, they just tasted great. They tasted just way better than the ones I get in the store. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of just how good it is to have farmers markets in our neighborhoods. And in particular, this one, the Crescent City Farmers Market, they do a really impressive one on Sundays at City Park. And the parking lot outside of Tad Gormley Stadium. Mm. It's the biggest one in the area, and it's the most vibrant, in my opinion. They made some changes during COVID, as we all did, and one of the things they did was loosen up the requirements for prepared foods. In the past, if you were going to sell anything at the farmer's market, it had to be grown locally, which is a great ethos in one respect, but in the other, no coffee, right? And I won't grow coffee around here. So they loosened that up for the people who are doing prepared food. So now when you walk around the farmer's market, you see all the vendors who are selling their produce. But there's a lot more just grab-and-go food, things to bring home, things to eat on the spot. And it really has changed the market into a place to go shop, but also a place to just kind of pig out on street food and find interesting little snacks and things to bring home, like I say, eat on the spot. And you see people setting up little picnics in City Park under the oaks. And just with the weather forecast that we got and how beautiful this weekend's going to be, just put back on my radar that farmer's market will be a great place to be. You can stomp around, fill up a bag with things to bring home and kind of forage your own free-form kind of brunch or lunch there on Sunday morning in City Park. So,
and unfortunately, unlike an article, we can't go back to read because now that you got everybody's attention. Tell us again where it is, Ian.
Yeah, actually, if you Google my name in Crescent City Farmers Market, I did have a recent article about it that would probably come right up. But it's in City Park.
Well, I could Google it, but I thought since you were here, you could just...
Yeah, sure. I'm right here. You can Google me.
That's what I thought.
City Park, the Tad Gormley Stadium, Sunday mornings, I want to say 8 to noon, somewhere around that time frame. And they do several others. There's one in Mid-City, actually by where the old Brakes Tag Station was at the end of the bayou, which some of your longtime listeners will remember. It's kind of funny to see what had been this sort of broken piece of city bureaucracy that was that Brake Tag Station turned into something vibrant and actually fresh and sort of joyful and uplifting, which is a farmer's market, in my opinion. And then there's a great one they do uptown, too, on Tuesdays, right by where Broad meets River Road. Where Broadway meets River Road.
So it happens City Park Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. to noon, and that would be... Near what?
Tad Gormley Stadium.
Tad Gormley Stadium. Right,
off of, you're going down City Park Avenue. You've got Delgado right across the street. You've got Tad Gormley Stadium, and you'll see lots of cars and a cluster of colorful tents and food trucks and booths and wagons and such.
You know, so, when I was visiting my kid from out of town last time, I went to a farmer's market in North Louisiana. And those can be a lot of fun, especially in, like you're talking about, with the weather as nice as it's going to be. Man, get out, take advantage of that.
Well, sometimes when I travel, Tommy, you know, if you're in a picture, you're in a different city, and you think, you know, I'm a little out of my rhythm. I'm you know, we're tourists. What are we going to do? We're going to go see kind of the life of this city. I'm often drawn to markets, whether it's a pop-up farmer's market or if they have sort of a more locals-orientated version of what's become of our French market. You know, a lot of cities still have that, those old-time markets where people go and convene and shop and people watch and munch things out of hands and sometimes have a drink. And, you know, sometimes it's a good reminder that we do have these things in our backyard, homegrown local stuff that we can go explore on a sunny Sunday.
You know what I like to do when I'm traveling, Ian, to get a feel for the place? Believe it or not, go to a supermarket at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I know that sounds odd, but if you really want to get a taste for what Cleveland is like or Seattle, or you understand what I'm saying, because that's kind of where the vibe is at that point.
Absolutely. No, I send out-of-towners visiting New Orleans to grocery stores here all the time. I mean, it's a great place to stock up on some stuff to bring home, the kind of things they're trying to sell you in the gift store at the airport anyway. And you just get them at the place where locals go shopping. You know, you go home with some crystals or some Tony Satcheries, that kind of thing. I mean, these are like legit exotic finds for people who aren't here and don't go shopping at a Dorniak's or a Robert's on a regular basis, you know? Right.
But if you really want to see and get the vibe for what a city's like, I found that to be the case.
Sure. No, I'm right there with you. I'm always going into grocery stores in other cities. And now what does their seafood section look like? You know, what do they have?
How expensive are they? Observe the people too, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I know in Hawaii, I saw in a market they had fish heads wrapped up. And I thought, what? Did we throw that away in Louisiana? What are you talking about? And apparently, fish head soup is a Hawaiian delicacy or something?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, that's where all the good meat is. You know, it's a shame what goes in the drink that we could be making good food out of.
But it was so bizarre to see fish heads wrapped with the styrofoam container and saran wrap covered. And it's like, what are you talking about? What? This garbage.
Well, I'm envisioning them wrapped in newsprint, which,
this was just like you buy ground beef, but it was fish heads.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can probably find that at some of the Asian markets around New Orleans. Hong Kong market comes to mind. If there's a tradition out there or a recipe or a way of cooking, somebody's going to meet it.
So where else you been eating? What else you been doing?
Yeah, here, another good intersection of food and sort of good vibes and uplift. There's an ongoing pop-up that happens twice a year, but it always takes a different form. And it's a weekday lunchtime thing downtown, and anytime I get a chance to go, I always find it very interesting. It's at Noki, which is the culinary school downtown. Noki stands for New Orleans Culinary and Hospitality Institute. And it's in that beautiful arts and crafts style building at the corner of Howard and Carondelet, right next to a great wine store, by the way, Keith and Company. Fabulous little emporium of wine and imported food and cheese. Just great. Looks like a Harry Potter library, but filled with wine and delicious things instead of spells. But anyway, that's a tangent. Noki is across the street, and this is the culinary school that only opened a few years ago. They're only in their fifth year. Created by the local hospitality industry. The founders were T. Martin, who runs Commander's Palace, her cousin Dickie Brennan, who runs Dickie Brennan Restaurants, of course, George Brower, a local tax credit expert, investor. And they marshaled a lot of support and decided, you know, New Orleans were a restaurant town, were a great place to go visit restaurants. We should have more infrastructure in the city for people who want to advance in a culinary career, advance in a hospitality career, and don't have to go to the Culinary Institute of America up in New York or on the West Coast. So it's a really cool resource in our backyard, and it's different from those other culinary schools because it's not a two-year, four-year program. It's a six-month program. People are going through there not to get their college degree, but to get a certificate program so they can – you know, hit the ground running, jumpstart their career, get into management, become a captain at a restaurant, become a banquet manager at a hotel, whatever it is, and really kind of build their career. And then the flip side of that is the local hospitality community gets a pipeline of better trained, better qualified, more experienced people, win, win, win. And this brings us to the pop-up. So each of those six-month classes, part of their curriculum is they plan, conceive, execute, and run a restaurant, their own pop-up restaurant within the culinary school. There's a ready-made restaurant space, and twice a year for each class, each semester of a class, they turn it into a different concept. And so that's going on right now. They'll have lunch today. They'll have a lunch Tuesday through Friday for the next few weeks, going to the middle of December, skipping the Thanksgiving week. And the theme this time around is Japanese food meets New Orleans food. So it's a fusion of familiar New Orleans stuff with Japanese culinary influences. They call it Bayou. Mm-hmm. And I hate spelling things on the radio, Tommy, but I have to for this one. It's B-A-I-U. Excuse me. This is why I hate spelling things on the radio.
B-A-I-Y-U with a hat on it, right?
There you go. Yeah. Exactly. You got it. Nailed it. But it's pronounced Bayou. And we went for lunch this week. You can have cocktails because, yes, Friday lunch service is included. It's New Orleans, okay? You can see that. To get right into the food, you're talking about char-grilled oysters with miso and panko breadcrumbs. You're talking about little wonton stuffed with boudin, so little boudin dumplings. And some of the finest cracklin I've had in a while. We talk about cracklin on your show, mm-hmm. Tommy, but a really good example there. And then you're getting into a nice tofu dish, a steak dish, a ramen. So it's fun. It's definitely very different. It's run like a normal restaurant. You walk in, there's a host. You see this open kitchen. You know, the waiter comes to your table, takes your order. But all of those people are culinary students. So your waiter is there, not training to be a waiter, training to be a chef. And, you know, next week he or she will be working in the kitchen, whereas the people cooking your food today will be working the tables next week. And so it's an interesting experience because the lessons are going on all around you. I mean, the chef instructors are finding teachable moments. You're getting a different kind of meal, different pace, kind of the creation of these students. And you're encouraging them and supporting the school at the same time because the proceeds from the lunch, which you pay for, by the way, benefits the scholarship program for Noki. So that was a very interesting lunch and sort of outing all in one, kind of a different thing to do.
If you go to nochi.org or Google Ian McNulty and NOCHI, you can find the story, I'm sure, or Bayou, B-A-I-Y-U with the little line over the U. But Ian, I'm trying to figure out the physical location of this. Where is it?
It's a really interesting spot, Tommy. It's at the corner of Howard and Carondelet downtown, okay. Right by, we're calling it Harmony Circle, right? Mm-hmm. And it was for years and years, like for decades, this building was invisible. It was covered with sheathing. And it was on the slate for demolition. Mm-hmm. No one really care that much because it was just such an ugly building. But then they started taking off the sheathing, the paneling, and they uncovered this, you know, early 1900s era five-story building with all this just gorgeous tile and cast stonework. And that became the basis for this eventually. I mean, it took a long time. There was an art hub that was supposed to go in there back before Katrina. That never happened. Building sat empty for a long time. It really did take visionaries in the hospitality community to turn it into what it is. And it's like I said, it's only been open and operating for a few years. A number of those years were during the pandemic. But it's the kind of place that has tremendous potential, I think, for the hospitality culture of New Orleans. And so it's interesting as just an observer of it, as we are, to get a chance to go in, see what they're doing, learn about it, and hopefully encourage them, because I think they can do good things for New Orleans.
I think it is, as you said, win, 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 and add a couple of wins onto that. If you go to the site, you can even see the fall class of 24 and get up close and personal, see what they're all about, then go watch them cook and eat what they cooked. We'll take a break, back. The questions are coming in for Ian McNulty, 504-260-1870. Of course, Ian. You know, with the weather, one of the more popular questions is going to be great outdoor eating places. We'll address that when we return on WWL. All right, Tommy Tucker here, Ian McNulty, our guest as always. Google his name. You'll scroll down. You'll see a story that says this pop-up restaurant opened only 16 days. You'll see all the links you need there for Noki and Bayou, which, again, Ian, I think is just a fantastic thing all around, and thank you for bringing that up. Let's talk about outdoor places to eat since I'm getting besieged with texts considering the weather's so nice.
Of course you are. This is the time to gulp it down, man. I mean, we could make a takeout box of this nice weather and bring it home.
Savor it, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Easy to find outdoor dining around town, but just that right spot, right? You just want to find that perfect spot. So let me take you through a couple examples because, I mean, they vary widely from a place like Bacchanal, down on the Bywater, which is, you know, casual as can be. You just go in, you're ordering these great cheese plates and wine. There's usually music playing. You're outside. It's fantastic. Right up the street, N7, more of a formal restaurant. In fact, a sleeper hit of a fantastic French restaurant with a killer wine list. And it's in this setting that is mostly outdoors. It's this covered patio, some covered, some open, a garden setting. It's all tucked behind this fence. You would never see it coming. I mean, it's over by the Press Street tracks on, let's call it, the lakeside of St. Claude Avenue. And it is not the place where you're going to expect this, like, really first-class restaurant in a lush landscape setting. But that dissonance is actually part of the thrill of going there. It's just a really, really fun place. But then, you know, you want something totally casual. If you're over on the West Bank in Algiers, Algiers has got a pretty good little restaurant scene cooking up there now. Mm-hmm. Barracuda Tacos is all outdoors. I mean, there's no piece of indoor into the place at all. It's that old filling station in the middle of Algiers Point that they've turned into a taco stand. Really good tortillas, which is the key to any taco to me. Good margaritas. And then right around the corner, you've got Nighthawk. This is right by the ferry landing. Real good Neapolitan-style pizza, you know, the pizza that comes out of the wood-burning oven. Good cocktails there, too. A nice martini, like I said, right by the ferry landing if you're going to make a river outing out of it. This one has a cozy dining room and bar, but in the back, a little patio kind of hidden in the back there, just tucked away. This is the time of year, too. I like to remember the restaurants that we talk about a lot during crawfish season, the places that are boiled seafood specialists. Crawfish are not and should not be around right now. It's savor them for their proper season. But they're boiling shrimp and crabs. They're frying seafood. They're making all their other specialties. And these places are great for outdoor dining. I'm thinking of Jason Sider's place in Harahan, which is that's premium outdoor dining right there. Not premium in price, just premium in atmosphere and the feel of it, and casual bucket of beer kind of place. It's got music on the weekends too. The tiki torch is probably flickering in the wind. Over in Mid-City, Klessy's Seafood on Bienville Street, set up in a similar fashion with a big outdoor patio. And here's the one I get a lot. Okay, I've talked about a lot of places in the city, in Orleans Parish, and yes, Algiers Point included the city, of course. But it's harder not to crack is out in the suburbs, just because the buildings, the way that, you know, even the commercial areas were developed, just don't lend themselves as much to the old patios and porches and that sort of thing. There's not a lot of courtyards out there, right? But if you look around Metairie Road these days, that's different. Metairie Road is turned into a real restaurant row, wending through Old Metairie, and there's a lot of new build stuff there with outdoor dining built in. I'm thinking as casual as the new Felipe's right there along Metairie Road, built with a lot of outdoor dining capabilities to it. You've got Garrison, which is the old Garden Gates landscaping spot that people remember from years back. It's a great restaurant now with a terrific, very stylish dining room, an open kitchen where you can sit along the counter and watch the meals come together. And then these individual gazebos outside that you can reserve that have their own TVs and their own heaters and fans for whatever the weather's doing to you. A smaller menu out there, a little bit more of almost a tavern menu of sandwiches and snacks and such, but a real nice setting. And even across the street, Tana, which is the Michael Galata's upscale Italian restaurant, has a little patio in the back. and then go around the corner, just off Battery Road, right on Airline, in that little triangle spot there between Airline and Causeway, you've got Las Cruces for casual, family-friendly Tex-Mex with a big bar, tacos, fajitas, that kind of thing, and a very big outdoor area. And if you know the timing is right, you'll be out there sipping your margarita, and a freight train will come chugging by, just you know, a stone's throw away, which I actually think is really cool and highly entertaining for the kiddos.
And you know what? If you have enough margaritas in you, maybe you hop on, you get off the grid, leave it all behind.
Yep.
Pay your bill. Pay your bill first, but then hop on the freight.
Yeah, sling your handkerchief, tie your handkerchief around the sticks over your shoulder, and your hobo Joe.
I'm not encouraging dine and dash, to be clear. If you want to leave it all behind you, that's fine, but pay your bill first. What about I want to talk about Gretna too, because I don't want to let my friend Belinda Constant down. It's amazing the outdoor dining places that they have in Gretna. I love the River Shack. You just sit up there, watch the Crescent City Connection lights, and just feel the river breeze.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, sometimes the best view of the city is from the other bank, you know, from the other side. And that's a great example. The River Shack, of course, the original over in Jefferson. This one just on the other side of the river, but it has that elevated deck up there. That's real nice. And then don't forget Gattuso's, a few blocks away within the neighborhood. They did some major upgrades to their front patio there. So that's a nice spot, too, for casual eats.
Weekend breakfast places outside real quick.
Well, let's stay in Gretna. Toast Gretna, right over in Hancock. Toast has a couple locations in the city, and this one is built around outdoor dining. There's even a an outdoor bar for your breakfast drinks and a playground for your kids to run off some of the syrup and chocolate sauce.
And other places where you can eat outside breakfast?
Breakfast outdoors. Oh, go to Mid-City. La Ponce. This is one of my new favorite spots. It is super casual coffee shop. We might have talked about it before. It's right behind Cafe Degas off of Esplanade Avenue. And it is a casual French cafe, walk-up, order at the counter, great breakfast sandwiches, great pastries, good coffee. And it's right near City Park, so you can start your weekend with breakfast at La Ponce and then go to City Park, walk it off, go to that farmer's market we talked about on Sunday by Tag Gourmet Stadium. You know, you can make a whole weekend out of it, just with what Tommy and Ian were talking about on Friday.
Broken Egg has some outdoor dining, I think, and I'm trying to think of some of the other places that have outdoor dining.
Sure, yeah, the Ruby Slippers have that.
Ruby Slippers have that, sure.
Yeah, Brunch Specialist. They've got a couple, two in Metairie now, both with outdoor dining, one on Vets, one again on Metairie Road, that part of that restaurant row I mentioned. And in Mid-City, right off Broad and Banks, they're the big location there. It's got a large outdoor area, too.
Here we go, Ian. Somebody wants to know, they're going to GW Finn's, one of your favorite places. They want to know a must-have.
Sure. Ask them if they have the dry-aged tuna. They do not always. It's a specialty item that they get in, and they dry-age it in-house. Just trust me on this. It's you want to split it for two of you? It's extraordinary, but if they don't have it, that's okay. You're still in luck. I always start with the lobster dumplings, even though it's one of the few things on the menu that's not actually from the Gulf with that lobster. Anything raw that they're doing, you know, it's going to be so fresh, and the way that they dress it up is great. And try, just if you want to go out on a limb, trust yourself. Get the tuna if you're a tuna guy. Get the redfish if you're a redfish gal. But go on a limb for the Finn's wings. They're the cut right by the fin of the fish. It's got the sweetest, most tasty morsels of meat attached to the bone. They fry it, they season it perfectly with a little sweet heat, and you'll thank yourself. It's like eating the finest fish, chicken wing style, and it's just one of the wonderful things they do there with the local catch at GW Finn's.
Never enough time, Ian McNulty, as always. I owe you an old-fashioned for this. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Thanks again, as always, for the opportunity to talk about the team that never loses, New Orleans food culture, and Go Saints this weekend. Thanks a lot, Tommy.
You got that right. Thank you, Ian McNulty. We'll take a break. Speaking of Go Saints, we'll get some winners with JR from Tegan Vegas, 941 Traffic Now, WWL.